It's going to be a great show, so veterans, get your tickets now.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. I'm your host of Happy to Help, a show about volunteering and helping others locally, globally, however it inspires you. And we love to talk to different people in the community who are helping others and how that leads them to meeting new people and opening up their world and opening up their life and introducing them to others. And today I am very pleased to have my friend Marion Janes with us. Welcome, Marion.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here.
You are the founder of Ignite Growth and Coaching, and soon to be Ignite Growth Academy.
That's right, Nicole.
Yep. Tell us a little bit about your background and what Ignite is all about, and how you started it, and what it does.
Boy, that's a loaded question for sure, Nicole. You know, thinking back on everything, it's been just a crazy, crazy ride. Nobody's life's journey is ever just a smooth pavement riding along the road. It's always got some kind of twists and turns or rocks or something in the middle, and mine has been really no different. The way I've got to where I am now is through just a lot of belief that everybody deserves a good life, but that good life also involves giving back to others. Mm-hmm. It also involves nothing but really loving others and earning the right to be loved. And I've learned this so many times throughout life the hard way. It was so challenging so many times. I mean, I had a comfortable childhood. I went to college and I learned all these things, but nobody really told me about how to navigate the crazy muddy waters when you have obstacles and challenges. I personally have been very fortunate. Like others, I've had numerous challenges in my life stemming from anywhere from having a marriage that ended in a divorce and having chronically ill children, having losing parents and all the things that people go through in their life. I went through most of that while I was working full-time as a single parent. But somehow I have been blessed. And there's so many blessings and there are too many to count. You know, I came across a quote at one point that said, "Because of you, I didn't give up."
Aww.
And I was called. I was lured in by that quote. And I thought, I survived it all. And I'm still smiling. I really am.
You're a survivor.
Smiling. I'm a survivor. So how can I help other people who are still out there suffering? Mm-hmm. I didn't have the monetary resources to hire a coach or get counseling or anything like that. I kind of figured it out on my own with the help of family and friends. Mm-hmm. And I landed over and over again in a place of gratitude and mm-hmm. a place of well-being.
It's a good place to be.
Absolutely. So my last biggest hurdle was being let go of my job that I had for 25 years in learning and development. Great job, great company. It became a way of life, every day going to work. Mm-hmm. The people there were my family. And after 25 years, I got the boot.
Mm-hmm. Which is common, unfortunately, in a lot of in this day and age.
It certainly is. So I had to dig deep and I thought, how did I overcome everything else? I've got to apply. I mean, the first thing I did, and this is kind of funny, I sat in front of the TV. I don't even drink coffee. Pour myself a cup of coffee the first morning, put my feet up and watch Shadow Traffic.
Shadow Traffic?
And I'm thinking, I don't have to drive in that anymore. It's a parking lot, but I'm not parked in it. And that kind of set my perspective. I thought I would get a job. After 2 years, I did not. So this calling, this passion was inside me to start my own business. It originally began as consulting because that was my way of life and my familiarity, and I could make some money. And there was something missing. So I learned and heard about coaching. I really didn't know what it was. And I got my coaching credentials. And I have found through the coaching that I do with and for others that not only have I grown from it, but the empowerment that I've been able to instill in them is just short of amazing.
Mm-hmm. You feed off each other, right?
Oh, you really do. it's just, you know that feeling. Mm-hmm. We've had many conversations mm-hmm. along those lines.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. And one of the networking groups I'm in, there's a coach there, and she says, you know, maybe your life's good, but a coach can make your life better and phenomenal. So would you agree? And how do you help people do that?
Well, I totally agree. And I think I'd expand on that a little bit more, because the neat thing about coaching I found is that it's not that a coach makes your life better, that a coach helps you realize that you have the tools and the innate potential to make your own life better mm-hmm. and to solve your own solution. You know,
perfect.
And I came up with this Ignite Growth. I think you asked that before. This Ignite Growth was literally something that I could not walk away from. I couldn't rest until I got this out. And the way Ignite Growth came about is I literally, especially after being let go of my job, I felt that there was this little flame burning inside me, and I've always been passionate. I've always been the one to like live life out loud, so to speak. But this flame wouldn't go away, and it was a passion to help others. But I thought, how can I help them if I don't have any money coming in and I'm not helping myself? So I built a business. So Ignite Growth is that little flame that keeps you up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it burns and burns and burns, and you feel it like in your stomach and in your gut. And you know it's not going to go away. But every once in a while, you don't feel it. And that's because things like your fear and your anxiety and your loathing and your jealousy and all that smothers it little mm-hmm. by little. So you've got to find that one spark, just one little spark that helps set you ablaze.
Mm. I love all your analogies. They're just so spot on. I'm just like getting excited. And I've heard this before, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting excited all over again.
Oh, thank you.
So, do you have any examples of some people that you've helped that were an obstacle that they overcame that helped them launch their career or relaunch their career that you can think of?
Well, I'll start with myself.
Okay, perfect.
That's a living example, and then yeah. I'll talk about that name.
Yeah,
some
yeah,
of the
totally.
Things that I've seen people do, which have just totally jazzed me and excited me and amazed me. So first of all, the whole way the process came up is that I felt, well, to find that spark I was talking about, I would have to have some kind of process. I've been in business many years. I know there's got to be a process or a framework. So my process became the Ignite Growth process. I thought, and the whole idea of Ignite Growth is to ultimately ignite hope.
Hmm.
And my process is on the very, very bottom is, first of all, cultivating awareness. So the first thing we do is find out where we are and where we want to be. And the next step is fueling potential.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to fuel the potential, and then you want to have passion. So you want to connect with your passion and then ultimately ignite your growth. So I take you through a very simple four-step process. It's just finding out where you are, where you want to be, what maybe you have in your life right now, what you might want more of. Then coming up with all the possibilities, like dreaming really big and coming up with any possibility that might fuel your future.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as in all things, you've got to pick one. Because mm-hmm. if you don't, you'll probably fail. You can't think, oh, the world's at my doorstep. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I tried that. And that's how I got confused and it didn't work. So you pick one. People say, well, how do you pick just one? You pick the one that has the most passion around it.
Mm-hmm.
But then nothing is complete. It's just a mere thought until you apply actions. So the very last step is actions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the scariest one. People just got to take it. Well, one of the scary ones is trying to figure out what you want to do. Like, you know, what am I meant to be? Who am I meant to be? What's my purpose? What am I here to do? And a lot of times people are afraid to get off social media and spend a quiet moment, and because they're afraid of what's going to come up and come out, right?
Oh, that is so true.
Right? So getting through that, but it sounds like you've got a tried and true process to hold their hand through that and get them to where they need to be.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, that I am here this week, and this was not planned around this, but this happens to be International Coaching Week.
Oh, wow.
So what I ended up doing, because it's about giving back, is I have that four-step process I just described. I just shot yesterday 4 videos.
Really?
And I'm putting it out on all my social media channels, and people can download it for free or click on it and engage for free, because I want you to know that there is a process out there that can help you. And I want you to know that if you're feeling bad right now, or you're I call it you're trying to get in touch with your et cetera, embracing your transition and change, that there's help out there. And right now, I'd like to be a part of that first step,
mm-hmm.
that very first step.
So where can people find you on social media? What's your Facebook? What's your website? Tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, the best place to connect with me is probably on my Facebook page, which is Ignite Growth Now. Okay. Learn, Grow, Inspire. And the way that Learn, Grow, Inspire came about wasn't until I had actually been coaching and consulting for several years. I kept thinking I had to do certain things, and you watch other people and what they're doing. You think, I could be like that, or I got to be like that. You're constantly evolving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to sit down and think, what am I really destined to do and equipped to do?
And what do you like to do?
And what do you like to do? Where's your passion, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I came up with the fact that I, all my life, being in learning and development, I've written hundreds, maybe thousands of programs at work and then delivered them and facilitated them to corporate people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always helped people learn. I've always helped people grow. And then the inspiration piece comes from the coaching. So the way it works is this. If you try to learn, look deep, and find something from every situation that you can learn about yourself, you will grow in ways you never imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will be inspired to take action in your own life. But for me, the whole Ignite Growth and this Learn, Grow, Inspire comes full circle when you then go out and you inspire others by your action. And that's why I love Happy to Help.
Aw, that's sweet. Well, I'm happy to have you here. And so give us a little bit of background. What did you do corporate coaching or training or something? What was your corporate background?
My corporate background was in learning and development. I was head of learning and development in a large organization, a Japanese manufacturer here in the U.S. in the office automation world.
Okay.
The best job in the world. It was pretty – the company had not been here in the USA for too long.
Uh-huh.
So it was an open book.
Okay.
It was an opportunity to develop the dealers and the employees who were coming on board. We had locations, and we started setting up training centers in Chicago and California and in Dallas and here in Pine Brook, New Jersey.
Oh. Well, was it team training or was it manufacturing training or what kind of training? I'm just curious.
There were several facets to it. There was product training.
Okay.
Then there was technical training for the service reps. It was copiers, so who fixed copiers.
Oh, okay, good.
And then there was also the employee development training, which is what I really latched on to, the leadership development, the team effectiveness.
Yeah.
Coaching through the culture, how to help people thrive through chaos and destruction. Right. I love that stuff.
I know. Oh, well, that's good. No, I think that's amazing because it's it gave you your background to let you launch and help others now, right? So tell us about the new piece or soon-to-be Ignite Growth Academy and what that's all about.
Well, that's a great question because, you know, that corporate career transitioned into this personal, professional, and corporate coaching initiative that I've been on this journey with. And it's interesting when you work with adults long enough, you realize they're just like children.
Totally.
And I originally set out to be a school teacher.
Oh.
And I decided early on after I got my degree and my master's that I didn't want to do that. But when I think of everything that I did with and for those people in the corporate side, all those years and all those staff I helped develop, it was easy to transition that. So in my Ignite Growth Academy, again, going back to that learn, grow, and inspire, there were two things that kind of challenged me coming out and setting up my own business. You may have heard my Toastmasters speech called The Office of the Heart.
Okay.
And that stemmed from being a higher level manager, I always had a beautiful office. In fact, it was on a duck pond.
Nice.
And I'm a tree hugger, nature lover person. So I loved my office, and I did a lot of inspiring work there. But I came home and living in a townhouse with two sons. The three of us, I never had a space. I couldn't organize my thoughts. Mm. But I realized that the way I was going to touch people was not within four walls of a room, but actually from my heart. So I think of the office as my heart now. I pack it up. I bring it anywhere. I can help anybody I want at any time.
Again, I love the analogies. You're so good with those.
Queen is here.
I know, right? I mean, I could just sit here and write down all these quotes and be writing vigorously for an entire hour. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Mary and James from Ignite Growth Coaching.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back with Marion James. She's the founder of Ignite Growth and Coaching and soon to be the Ignite Growth Academy. And we're learning about her journey in the corporate world and then starting her own business and now coaching, inspiring others to get out there, engage, volunteer, do you find what you love and do it with passion and make it your part of your life and your career. But before we go more into the Ignite Growth, I want to talk a little bit about how we met initially, and then we found we had a bunch of other connections, but through Toastmasters, right?
Absolutely.
How long have you been a Toastmaster?
I've been a Toastmaster, has it been 4 or 5 years now?
I think I'm about the same. We must have joined about the same time.
Yeah. I think I joined right after you.
Okay. Well, and for those who don't know, Toastmasters has been around over 100 years, and it was started, what's his name, Smalley, or I forget.
Yeah, somebody, wait, Ralph?
Yeah, Ralph Smiley, or I don't
Smalley,
know.
Smalley.
Something
Smalley?
Like that. But
I don't
yeah,
know.
Smalley. So it started by this guy in California, Southern California, over 100 years ago. And Toastmasters is basically people, you know, you think about giving toasts and speeches, but it's more than that. It's a leadership program. It's for gaining confidence in a crowd and your speaking ability. But it's got definitely two manuals that you start with. Well, it might be changing now. They're revamping all this stuff. But it's a competent communicator manual and then a competent leadership manual. And it guides you through your own speeches and gives you different topics and different skills to work on. And it is a self-paced program. So you're on no timeline. You do it as it works with your schedule. And there's corporate clubs and there's private clubs. And ours meets at the library. And it's just fabulous. But they just moved the headquarters from California to Colorado. And they're starting this new Pathways program that I don't know too much about yet. But if you haven't checked out Toastmasters, definitely check it out because it's fun. And do you remember like one of your favorite? Was this a big component of helping you grow your business and start your business, the Toastmasters?
I would say Toastmasters has been invaluable, not necessarily in growing my business, although it has resulted in that, but in so many other ways, in giving me the confidence, in helping me find my voice. Toastmasters is all about that. It's so much more than I am afraid of speaking. Let me go to Toastmasters and maybe I'll get my confidence. Mm-hmm. That's just brushing the surface. Mm-hmm. I mean, Toastmasters, now that I'm in an advanced club now also, and what happens is that the way it helped me grow towards my business, not in my business, was because I came out from the corporate world. And I felt like now I wanted to speak more about igniting growth in others and touching others' lives and inspiring others. But I didn't know how to be other than a business person. So I'd meet somebody, they'd say, "What do you do, Marion?" And I'd say, "Hi, I'm Marion James." And I felt like, "I'm Marion, the businesswoman." I didn't know how to be other. Mm-hmm. But Toastmasters helped me cultivate who I am. And you know what? Now that we're speaking, I was thinking of Toastmasters recently in the effects of helping others gain happiness and healing and the whole happy to help theme. And what I was thinking is that Toastmasters actually could be healing as well. Because if there's so many people, and I know you're out there, and you just are challenged by something. It could be a life event. It could be a work event. It could be a health issue. It could be a number of things, and you just can't find a way forward. If you were to go to a local Toastmaster and do a speech or two on that in a totally supportive environment, non-judgmental, and talked about that over and over, I think you'd learn again. You'd learn about yourself. You grow in how you never imagined, and you would be inspired to take action in your life. I honestly believe that.
Absolutely. It is one of the most supportive environments I've ever been in. And we always tell people, get your hands ready, because we do so much clapping.
and it's genuine.
I know. And it's genuine feedback. And the first speech that you're encouraged to give is your icebreaker speech. And that is what kind of gives people, the whole club, an insight into who you are and where you come from. And then you're like family immediately. We can't recommend Toastmasters enough, because find a club in your area, because like I said, there's public clubs, there's private clubs. Some people join because they aren't a native English speaker and they want to improve their pronunciation and their confidence in speaking English. Some are, and there's 140 clubs all over the world, or 140 countries. There's more than that. There's thousands of clubs in 140 countries. And some come because they've got a big presentation coming up at work, and then that's what initially gets them in there, and that's why they're there. But then they stay because of the community and the support. My one friend is doing a poetry reading, so she wanted to gain confidence for that. So
now
she
that's
joined.
Neat.
Yeah, no, amazing. So check out Toastmasters. So that is by far, you're right. I love your theme of growth, because I think personal growth is ongoing throughout your entire life, and that's what keeps you excited, keeps you invigorated, and you can always learn. You can learn a language. You can learn about a nonprofit, or pick up a book and learn something, learn sewing, learn bicycle repair. I think that's what really keeps you going forward, is growth and learning. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And there's so many ways to be able to do that in today's world, regardless of how dire your situation is.
Mm-hmm. You just got to take that first step and get out and get connected.
That first step, that little tiny baby step. Sometimes it's a leap for some, but for others, it's the tiniest, tiniest baby step you can imagine, but it's forward. Mm-hmm. It's not backward.
Absolutely. Well, this is a show about volunteering, and I know you're a big volunteer at the church. And then the other way we connected was through Brian's Dream Foundation. Mm-hmm. So why don't you talk about your history with them and what they do and what they're all about?
Right. So, and as I mentioned before, the whole volunteering has been a theme. And it started even when I was divorced. I was really hurting. But my way was to go out and find others who were hurting as well. I started a divorce group. Mm. And I've always just tried to, where there was a need, bring something to the table. And that, as I said, was it helps you get out of your situation by helping others and through others. And one of the things that I did was very dear to my heart, especially here in the month of May, is something called Brian's Dream Foundation, which Nicole just mentioned. And Brian's Dream Foundation, like all foundations basically, stemmed from something tragic that happened. Most of these organizations, they do not happen because life is happy and I want to make it happier. Unfortunately, it stems from very, very much hurt. Mm-hmm. And desperation.
And people want to channel it into something good.
People want to channel it and make something good for the world, maybe in somebody else's name. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened with Brian's Dream. So my son was playing on a lacrosse team. They were about 10, 11, 12 years old at the time. And little Brian was on the team. And Brian got sick. And for a long time, nobody knew what was wrong. And his parents, Nancy and Tim, wonderful people, you looked and looked and looked. Finally, what was found out is that he had neuroblastoma multiforme, which is brain cancer. He had a brain tumor. And I still to this day can't imagine how devastating that news had to be for Nancy and Tim. The first thing that their coach did was to go into the school. They were, I believe, in seventh grade at that time. So it was middle school, you know, with all the hormones raging and everything else. And he told the boys in person at lunch that day that Brian had passed away, and Brian was 12 years old. Ugh. And it's interesting, this has been 12 years since he's been gone, and he passed away when he was 12, so we've been really thinking about Brian a lot. So what the boys decided at that point is to have a lacrosse tournament and to honor Brian in his name. So BTO, Brian Timothy Oprumsak, annual lacrosse tournament was born. Mm-hmm. And we ran it for 12 years. This is the first year that we did it. It was always the first Friday in May. And it always rained. And guess what? This year it didn't.
Oh, of course.
We didn't run the tournament. But it was a chance to give back. We have a fantastic committee of parents who came together, and for 12 years we ran the tournament, all in Brian's name. And there were times at night when I got goosebumps, because even though it usually rained or was foggy or always windy at Mountain Park, somewhere along the way, the rays of sun would come through.
Aww.
And you just know that Brian's up there looking down on the whole thing. And the interesting thing is that those rays of sun are actually the logo also for Brian's Dream Foundation. So I think, I'm not sure, I don't remember the order of everything, but I think soon after that, then Nancy and Tim, his parents, in Brian's name, started Brian's Dream Foundation. And they continue, I don't have all the statistics in my head, but they continue to touch children and families with brain cancer all around the United States. It stems over to California now and into Chicago. They make giving baskets at Christmas. They adopt families to prepare Thanksgiving meals for. Mm-hmm. They shop for whole families on Christmas that are in need, that can't get out on their own and experience a Christmas because their children are too sick. Mm-hmm. And they also send people to Day Camp Sunshine, which is a camp where they can all come together, all these children, and share and be normal amongst one another. So it's just an amazing, amazing foundation. The need is so great. But what I like about Brian's Dream Foundation is that all the money goes right to the families and the children in need. There isn't a lot of red tape. It's a grassroots organization.
Well, they're pretty lean, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and they are touching lives.
Yeah.
Many lives.
In a critical way, right?
In a massive way.
Yeah.
Massive critical way. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, and I know we go to the same church, so we volunteer. I've seen you volunteer at church. And I always like to bring the kids into this because you have the two boys. And can you talk about, have you instilled volunteering in them, either younger or older? I know they have to find their own way. But have you can you talk about having a volunteer instillment or whatever in your family or helping them?
We'd all like to believe that, right? That some of the actions that we take, our kids actually follow along. I was always a believer that I don't have to yell and do this and that and be telling them how life should be or what life is all about. But going back to that whole example that I mentioned about, you know, being the example for others, that if I live my life in such a way that I could illustrate resilience and I could illustrate hope, that they would be able to get out of their own situations. They're 25 and 28, so they're just in the midst of starting their lives. Their challenges are yet to come. They're really big challenges, although we've had many already. We've had enough. But I think the way they saw me go through, my divorce and go through being a single parent and go through losing my job and everything else that's happened, I'd like to think that they learn coping skills. I'd also like to think, I have to mention here and give credit where it's due, that they understand that I was never alone, that I turned to God for help because it was just like too big for me. You know, I think I'm very capable. I was born capable in some respects, but it was just too big for me. There's no way that we would be where we are right now and have the lives we have if I had to do it all by myself. I'm not that good.
But faith brings strength, right?
Oh, faith brings tremendous strength and resilience, and faith brings hope. And without it, I've called upon it time and again. And that's what I hope I've instilled in my children more than anything else. that ability to know that you're not alone, to know that you can always walk the journey with somebody else who really gets it. And even when you screw up or you become vindictive or jealous or mad or angry, it's okay because he still loves us and he'll walk with us anyway. You know that footprints in the sand?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's there's all these footprints in the sand and all of a sudden the footprints disappear and you're crying out thinking, well, where are you? I thought you were walking this journey with me. And he says, well, that's when I carried you.
Yeah.
So there was only one set of footprints. And I there's times that I thought to myself, you know, I wish he wouldn't wear sandals. Why can't he wear Nikes? We could go a little faster. I want to get
that.
Beyond this point.
Patience, my
patience.
Child.
Well, and I tell you that that is something I have not learned along the way.
That's hard. It's really, if you're a goer and a doer, which I know you are, patience is tough. Yeah. That's amazing. No, I think faith, I was reading something this week. Somebody was saying, you know, that, and one of our other guests talked about the four pillars, but it's like faith, family, career or volunteer. I need to write them down. I'll bring them next week. But the other quote, I always like to throw out little quotes and stuff. And on the way over here at one of the local churches here in downtown Flemington, as I was driving on the marquee, I love reading different marquees that they have for the sermon or different things. And the one on the corner over here said, attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching?
Ooh.
Isn't that cool? Very deep, I thought. Very profound and true.
That,
right?
That is really cool. And that's funny because just last week I was doing a program for a corporate client, and it was on customer experience. And I always incorporate this one video by a man named Brandon Smith, and it's called Emotional Contagion.
Oh, cool.
And it's how emotional contagion is infectious. But the biggest emotional contagion and the one that spreads rampant and people bring to work over and over again into their life is negative emotional contagion.
Oh, not good.
That's not good. And, right. And so the challenge at the end that he gives after 15 minutes of, it's a TED talk,
okay,
is that who's going to be the one? Are you going to be the one who's going to be, he calls it a booster shot for emotional contagion. So you're walking around a negative mode, or everybody in your family's negative, or everybody in the workplace is negative. It's just going to spiral out of control until just one person, the spark, right, changes that. Who's going to be the one to step up and spread some positivity?
That's right. Shift the mood.
Shift the moment, right?
Yes, I agree. And I always love talking about, do you know Brian Tracy?
Of course.
He's one of like the power of achievement gurus. He's, you know, he's been, you know, been around forever. And the one, I used to listen to his tapes when I was going to work my sales job and trying to get pumped up. But he was always saying that he did an analogy with your mind is like a garden. And you know how if you have a garden, the weeds pop up no matter what. Everyone's always weeding because, you know, you water and you have sunshine and you plant, but weeds grow on their own, and the weeds are the negative thoughts and the judgment and things, and they grow on their own. And so you constantly have to weed your mind. And the way you do that is that you focus on positive thoughts, you think good things, you surround yourself with positive people. So, cause he's like, otherwise your mind is full of weeds and no wonder you're down in the dumps because you're just like, you know? So I love that analogy that he says in one of his tape sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to feed those endorphins in your brain.
Yeah, feed, you know,
to keep them positive.
That's right. Like, you know, pour on the affirmations and the happy feelings. But like you were mentioning before, we have days when we're grumpy or we're tired, or, I mean, that's part of being human. You have a natural array of emotions that you go through, and that's okay. But when it starts to eat away at you is when you need to make a change.
That's so true.
Yeah. Right.
And we all have the power to be able to do that. It's a conscious decision.
Yes.
Sometimes it feels unconscious or it's in your subconscious because it's become a way of life. It's become a habit where the first thing that comes into your mind is a negative thought. So it takes retraining your brain one small step at a time.
Absolutely. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here because a couple different things. So your boys were Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts?
Oh, they were Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts for Boy Scouts, one of them for a short time.
Okay, well, because the reason I'm bringing that up for a couple reasons. So my daughter, I mean, she got her gold award for the Girl Scouts, which is
congratulations.
Thank you. So, well, I'm more excited than she is, but For those that don't know, the girl, and we've had the Girl Scouts on the show, but the Girl Scout Gold Award is equivalent to the Eagle Scout for the boys. And so she got it 6 or 9 months ago, but they just came out with all the because they do a one big deal every year, like a dinner, and so she got all her paperwork and all that stuff, and all these letters from, you know, like Cory Booker and President George Bush and Clinton,
so
and
cool.
They're standard letters, but it comes.
Doesn't matter.
I know. I thought it was pretty impressive. It was pretty impressive. But anyway, so that's the Girl Scout issue, and then the other thing is my friend tonight, Carol Simon Levin, is she does personifications of all these great women in history, Emily Roebling, who helped build the Brooklyn Bridge,
oh, wow,
and aviators and stuff. So tonight at the Bernardsville Library at 7 p.m., she is debuting her personification and representation of Juliette Gordon-Lowe, who started the Girl Scouts.
Oh, isn't that neat?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm so excited. I'm going today. So if you've got any Girl Scouts out there or anybody who, and she does, her website is tellingherstories.com, and she does all these presentations at libraries all over New Jersey.
I love it.
Yeah, so she's amazing. So I will be there tonight supporting the Girl Scouts. But also, I wonder if you have an opinion, because they're all coming out now, about the Boy Scouts allowing girls. And the whole changing the name, it's going to be Scouts BSA. So if you have an opinion, I'd just love to hear what you think about all that.
You know, I'm trying to think back to when my kids were there. My opinion is that I don't know the repercussions or why they're doing it or anything like that. All I know
Because enrollment's down, and they think to help enrollment, if they allow girls, that'll help both more boys and girls join.
So I think that's a great example. You know, it's kind of dying in many ways because sports have taken over. Mm-hmm. Music is big, and there's so many other things. There's so many opportunities mm-hmm. nowadays. So if an organization, it's just that, like the world, if it's like Happy to Help, if people can come together for a common purpose and make some great things happen and be of service to others, then I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. And if they can do this together, then maybe they'll be more powerful. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll be able to help even more people. And it reminds me when, for a while, I was working at the YMCA as program director early on. Yeah. And there was a couple groups there. There were groups they were trying to niche everything. So there were Indian guides, which is dads and sons. Then there were trailblazers, I think, which were moms and sons. And then there was something else for moms and dads and daughters, Indian princesses, all these different things. But then more and more, lots of things happen during life, death and divorce and everything else. So then you get a boy that doesn't have a mom, or
a girl
that doesn't have a father, and all this other stuff. And they're all just running ragged trying to do the same thing, which is ultimately and fundamentally be of service and make a difference in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can come together and do that in a big way, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Adventure Guides now because my mm-hmm. kids did it. My husband did it with my kids, but I know there was some of that deal with the boy. Yeah, there's always an issue. There's always going to be detractors and issues,
yeah.
But
yeah.
If the overall goal is good, then it's a good thing. So I was just curious. So I think scouting is, you're right, there's so many competing activities and things these days for kids, and they're trying to do them all, which is...
They are.
Yeah, which is bad in and of itself. But I think scouting, both Girl Scouting and Boy Scouting, it teaches valuable skills, cooking skills, leadership. And so I definitely always tout scouting when I can, whichever.
It's a great organization. They're all great organizations. So now they're coming under one roof. That's fine.
Yeah, well, Girl Scouts is still separate, but now that the girls, I don't know if girls will allow boys. I don't really see that happening, but who knows? Who knows? Or maybe they'll do
everything.
I know. Maybe they'll just do a merger. I don't know. Who knows what happens? The other one I want to talk about is you've helped for over 35 years with Special Olympics. Tell us about that.
Well, Special Olympics started, let's see, I was in college, I guess, so don't do the math. But please.
You look
but
great.
I was in college, and one of my instructors, I was taking an elective in outdoor pursuits. We went to the Special Olympics one night. It happened to be right here in New Jersey, and it was the Winter Special Olympics. It was very small at that point, and we were helping the kids ski and go to their gates so they could do their races. And I just got really turned on by that. I really, really enjoyed it. From that, it spawned into, well, let's do some of the summer games and the track and field. There's a lot of track and field. And in those days, you were huggers, and you would stand at the finish line and hug the athletes, which is now not really allowed.
You
still hug them, but it's not advertised that we have huggers.
Oh, okay.
A little creepy nowadays, right?
everything's being questioned these days. Yeah.
Everything's questioned. So I just started volunteering year after year after year. I think I missed a year or two when I was out in Indiana getting my master's.
Oh.
But I I love it. And every year I learn so much and I get so motivated from just watching the perseverance, watching the trust they have for people, and just watching the overall happiness of these athletes. And what it entails is that you, usually I like to be an escort because I like to work directly with the athlete. Mm-hmm. And I take an athlete or two out for the day. We do our practice runs. And then they go to their gate, and I escort them there, and I ski down the side while they ski down the gate. Some go flying down, and others take a really, really long time. And at the end, they all think they're winners, and everybody gets a medal because they are winners.
Yeah.
It's just such a wonderful, and if you could hear some of the banter when you're lined up at the top of the hill, and they're all in a line, and you're facing them, all the volunteers, and they're going back and forth, and they're, I remember this one woman who kept, no matter who went down the hill as she waited her turn. When you ski, you kind of bend over, right? And you plant your poles. Mm-hmm. And all she would say is, look at him. He's slouching. He's not even going fast. He's slouching. And they banter with each other. And so many happy memories. 2 years ago, the USA World Games were in New Jersey.
Oh.
Down at TCNJ.
Oh.
And I did something a little different. I was the announcer for track and field.
Very cool.
They were looking for people, and I thought, I got a big mouth. I can do that role.
You're not shy, so that's good.
I'm not shy. I so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Oh, good for you.
So rewarding.
Yeah, at one of our local grocery stores, there's different Special Olympics. Dominic, do you know those guys at Stop and Shop?
Yeah.
So they, and so whenever I'm in there, I'm always talking to them. I'm like, what'd you do? Oh, yeah, we went bowling, or we did this, or we did that. Or they, you know, they, or their, or Dominic will wear his medal proudly.
They wear their medals.
Yeah.
And you always
so
ask,
great.
Well, how'd you do? And the response is always saying, we won.
I know.
We won.
Yeah.
Imagine if you could do that in life.
Yeah.
How'd you do today? I won. I had a great day.
Yeah. And I think that's wonderful. So Special Olympics is another volunteer opportunity for those thinking that they want to get involved. We talked about Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Brian's Dream. And what is it? Brian'sDreamFoundation.org?
It would be Brian'sDreamFoundation.org.
And Brian's with a Y.
And Brian is with a Y.
Right.
And one thing I learned, you know, over the years is sometimes, because again, I didn't have the resources when I was unemployed and raising my children as a single mom. But in today's world, you don't need a lot of money to give.
No.
You can either give of your time or all these GoFundMes, which sometimes I get aggravated. There's just too many. Every day I need money for a new lunchbox or whatever. I don't know what comes across. But the fact is, people, they don't expect you to give a lot. And it's no longer reserved just for those who have excess or abundance. It's
$5.
If a million people gave $1, that's $1 million.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
So give $1. Just help somebody.
Yeah, well, I think One Simple Wish, who helps orphans, or no, yeah, no, not orphans, foster kids down in Trenton. They're doing, they want to raise $1 million, basically $1 at a time kind of thing right now. So, I'm hoping to have her on. She's been on NBC and all these great shows, so I might be too little for her. But no, she's wonderful. That I forget her name, but started One Simple Wish.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so they're trying to do that little by little. Every little bit counts. That's what I always say, right? And I've been guilty, though. I've sent out so many room to read emails for Mother's Day. Everyone's probably going to be like, take me off her list. But, you know, if you don't try. And I just like to, I'm just so passionate about this. And a couple times a year, I just bombard people because I'm like, okay, you know, in honor of Mother, let's give to girls.
Or the room to read program.
Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah, the girls' education. They have books, and they have libraries, and they have teacher training, and then they have girls' education. So that's
so one more thing about that and how a dollar makes a difference is that, did you see that Bill Gates just posted something?
No.
And it's a video of him talking about, I wish I could remember, it's called the dollar something or other.
Oh.
I have to Google it and get it to you. But I was listening to it last night, and what somebody did is they went around the world and looked at the way it's not based on people are different because of culture,
right,
but people's lives around the world are different because of the dollar.
Okay.
And you can see on this one website, and I wish I remembered it, that if a family that makes $1,000 a month here and around the world lives very similarly, They have a toothbrush. They have a bed. And they looked at 15 different things, 15 or 25 different aspects of each life, and they compare them. People who have a lot of money live similarly around the world, and people who don't have anything or have very little, $300 a month or whatever, around the world live very similarly in terms of the food they eat, the clothes they wear, the shelter that they have. And for me, I can't remember the demarcation, but it really opened my eyes when it was up to a certain income worldwide, people did not have toothbrushes. They had sticks or they had something that they poked their teeth with.
Wow.
But it was after a certain income level around the world that people would have a toothbrush. And it began on the first level with just having one to share for the family.
Oh, wow.
But as people made more money, the whole family had toothbrushes.
Yeah. Oh, that would freak
some
people out.
It's really eye-opening.
No, I love practical stuff like that that breaks it down to like daily routines and simple family things. And they say that you really... For those, I think in New Jersey, it's $75,000 is kind of the cap for, so anybody who makes more than $75,000 isn't necessarily that much happier. Cause we live in a very expensive state. So in other parts of the country, it's not so high, but they're saying if you, in parts of New Jersey, if you make $75,000, you can have a decent life and your happiness doesn't go up that much necessarily if you make more than that. So.
I mean, happiness is a feeling. I don't think you can buy a feeling.
No. But if you're secure in your, you know, your school and you have a toothbrush and you have enough to eat, and I think they're talking about that basic thing, but you've got your basic needs. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to take another quick break and then we'll be back with Mary and James.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. This is Happy to Help. I'm your host, Nicole Smith. And today we're talking with Mary and James, the founder of Ignite Growth and Coaching and soon to be the Ignite Growth Academy. And Mary and I are both volunteer freaks. I would say we can't get enough. So I want you, if you can share some more about your volunteer experience or inspire others to get out there and volunteer, if you've got some advice on that, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'd love to, inspire others to get out there and try to make a difference. And I think you would find how much it really, truly helps you. And people always ask, well, you know, when I'm coaching them, well, how do I volunteer? Or how do I get out and make a difference? I'm so broken, or I'm so tired, and I'm so sad, and I'm angry, and I'm this and that and the other thing. What can I possibly share with others? And it really is just sharing yourself and sharing your compassion and sharing your caring. And one way that you can help find out how to volunteer. And really the core, I think the most meaning you get from the volunteering is if it aligns with your passion. And we talked a little about that before, we just kind of brushed the surface. But if it's something that you're not passionate about, then it's not going to have as great an impact on you and probably the people you work with as if you were passionate. So sometimes it just takes writing down the things that really you care about. Or somebody, a way, any way that you, little you, can make a big difference in somebody else's life. Or a little difference. So this program I talked about before, this four-step coaching process, which I'm offering for free for International Coaching Week, is designed to help people take that first step. And if you're out there and you are struggling either because you're going through, like I said, a life event, a work event, you're sick, you're chronically ill, anything like that, and you just can't get out the door, you can't get out of your own way, you've totally lost hope and a vision for the future, go through this program. It will help you take that first step and get back on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, too, it was funny, I'll share this story. I was out to dinner last night, and we were talking, and they were all pet people and dog people, and they love their dogs like more than their kids. And I know there's a lot of people that love pets. And she was saying, she goes, I will give to any animal charity, shelter, pet shelter, and I just, this
great
is, that's
example.
Where, exactly. So,
absolutely.
And I'm like, we've never had a pet. I'm never going to have a pet. We're not pet people. So, you know, which is fine. Like, so she loves to give to those organizations that are helping animals. And, but the good thing that, the thing that I did agree on, I said, you know what? You can't beat that unconditional love you get from an animal.
You can't.
Right. So if people that just eat that up and love that, then good for you.
Volunteer
and
the pet shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. So volunteer or
love
give
is love.
Or, yeah, exactly. So I think, and like I said, I'm very comfortable saying that I'm, you know, I value my kids and helping in different ways, but pets are amazing and they do amazing work and therapy and everything like that. And I think they're absolutely wonderful. So you just got to sit down and think, well, what excites me? What ignites me?
What ignites me? I like that.
Oh, I'm learning from you. So, tell us more what's the Ignite Growth Academy? What's your vision for that?
Well, my vision for Ignite Growth Academy is huge, which is why I have to apply my own process. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, all right, start with the baby steps and then work up. I just want to help the world, but I can't do that if I don't help one person at a time. So Ignite Growth Academy, that first step was getting this free program, which I'm putting up this week. But the program right behind that, that I'm just finished completing, and I'm going through the mechanics of uploading it and everything like that, is a vision for your life. And it culminates in the making of a vision board.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of vision board people out there saying, well, let's make a vision board. And sometimes people just don't even know. They start cutting things out of a newspaper and they stick it on the board. But this goes beyond that. So I call it Beyond the Vision Board.
Oh, I like that.
And what it entails, it's a really robust program. And it starts with awareness, but taking you through, what are your values? What are your beliefs? And all these exercises to help you explore that. And then to dream big and imagine things that you never thought you could possibly imagine. And I walk you through every step of the way. There's worksheets that you do. You keep a journal. And it culminates then by the time you do that vision board, the things that, and the clips and the quotes and the things that you have assembled in terms of ready to paste down on your board are things that are really going to set you on a journey of the life that you can only envision right now, bringing you closer to reality. And what will happen is that board, then I'll have some coaching sessions where people can then get online with 10 or 12 other people and share your boards and actually verbalize your story. Because when you verbalize it, then it brings it to life. They're also going to be able to go to the Facebook group that I've put up and share, look at my vision board. Here's my vision for the future. Mm-hmm. Here's what I commit to for the future.
And then it makes you accountable, right?
It makes you accountable. So I've really thought this out. Everything at Ignite Growth, except for some of the corporate stuff, but on the personal and professional growth area, I want it to be affordable. You know, because again, I couldn't afford a coach. I couldn't afford any of this stuff. And I know there's people hurting out there that really need help and really deserve and want a better life from themselves. So this is going to be stuff. Yeah, you got to pay because I have to fuel the engine and then I can help more people. But I'm trying to make it as affordable as possible so the people that really truly need it can get some of the help they need.
Well, and you're investing in yourself, right? If you really want to make a change, you've got to take a baby step, but you've also got to invest in yourself with some time, some effort, and some money.
Right.
I mean, it all works together, but you've got to take that initial step.
Right. Now you understand more than others or not more than some, not more than others, that sometimes we know we have to invest ourselves, but we're really tight. And you're spending money either on medication because you're sick, or you're losing money. You're spending it with a lawyer because you are in a divorce. You know, there's sometimes we just don't have a lot. But yes, some investment will greatly carry you forward and shows commitment and intent.
Yes, and you reap the rewards. The other great quote I heard about volunteering was she said that when you put time and effort into others, you reap rewards beyond measure, which I totally agree with.
Totally.
So I think that's amazing. So did you go to a coaching school, or was that when you were getting your graduate degree, or how did you build some credentials for the coaching?
This was a true blessing again, because I wanted to be a coach, but it's quite an investment. And I was actually, at some point when I was in my consulting business, and again, that little flame is burning and burning, and there was something missing. At the weirdest time, when I had all my week scheduled, either with clients or other activity or volunteering, all of a sudden, there was this one week, and this gentleman I know from Rutgers called and said, "Marian, we have this coaching program started, and I invite you to take part in it. I think you have a good background. You'd be adding to the program." And it was more affordable for me than anything else. Do you know, I went in my calendar, and this is, still today freaks me out. There was nothing on Tuesday. It was the next day. He called me on Monday night. It was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Somebody had dropped out. I looked at my calendar, and it was blank.
Oh, my gosh. You were meant to be there.
How can that be?
Yeah.
That's
those stories.
Divine intervention.
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody took an eraser, because I don't have any weeks where there's not something on each day.
Wow.
It's
I love
strange.
That. I love that. That's great. Well, and then and going back to the vision board thing for a minute, one of our Toastmasters, she did her whole vision board as a speech. It was really cool. I'm trying to remember who it was. Oh, Jennifer. So she
did
it.
Innovative.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, vision boards are great. And like, but you said, you can't just start pasting random things. You really have to think it through and ask the questions and ask the hard questions.
I've seen some people do some just to plot their recovery from an illness. I've seen people, I've seen people who have done it with Boy Scout or Girl Scout groups.
Yeah.
What their vision is as a group. I've also done it with my church, and we call them faith boards.
Oh, I like that.
So there's so many ways you can spin it. They are highly effective. Gurus all over the world use them. Oprah uses one.
Yeah.
I mean, people all over.
No, I agree. And talking about the calendar thing, I had a goal in mind, and I was in sales, and it was a long selling cycle, and I was trying to make the sale, but I just like flipped randomly ahead and then marked sale on this day, and I didn't even realize it. And then later, a couple of years later, even I realized that I had made my first sale almost to the day of marking that on my calendar.
That's
it was
amazing.
Crazy. I know, right?
That stuff is crazy.
I know. And then another friend of mine, she was having all these random ailments and illnesses, and she was bogged down. And I would see her every day or every couple of days, and I would say, "Look at the calendar." I said, "By, you know, June 22nd or whatever," I said, "this has got to stop. You got to get everything resolved. You got to stop, you know, wallowing in all the." I mean, some of it was, you know, valid, physical, and whatever. But I said, "You got to, you know." And I kept saying that every day and every. And then, sure enough, you know, by the end of that month, she was free and clear. Like, she had moved on. I was like, amen to that. So, you know, I mean, it just takes, you know, some
sure
helping
does.
And some, all right, well, tell us again. So it's Marian Janes and Ignite Growth and Coaching. Check it out. If we can find that Bill Gates thing, I'll put it on my Facebook page.
Put it on your Facebook.
Yeah, but we could, but also share some of your coaching tips and your free program for Coaching Week. So we'll share that. Any last words before we sign off?
I would just say that, you know, again, if you're out there just get out, listen up for a second here, get out there and try to find some purpose in your life. Connect with your purpose through your passion. Sometimes you have to look at the passionate part first to connect with your purpose, because it's the passion that we trip over and over again. So what's tripping you up? Ask yourself that question. What's tripping you up from really aligning and finding your true purpose? And your true purpose can be found by giving to others and by volunteering.
I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you, Marian.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news is three Americans are now on their way back to the United States after being held by North Korea. The North releasing them today into the custody of visiting Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. They're all said to be in good health. Pompeo and the three are to land at Andrews Air Force Base at about 2 o'clock Eastern Time today. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Alan West says President Trump's policies are again getting the credit for this release.
Some people need to understand strength and might, and I think that now you're seeing America being respected. You see a president that is leading from the front, and we're getting our detainees.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
This is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Retail industry analysts are shocked as retail sales surprisingly fell in June. The 0.3% drop is tamping down optimism that consumer spending is rebounding. A prominent Texas business investor